Welcome to the October 13th edition of the PFF Forecast. We've got some new digs in here. I think if you're watching this on YouTube, we went from being 6 feet apart at all times to now being 6 inches.
Now you know COVID's over. Social distancing.
I literally haven't been this close to you since your Chiefs beat my Niners in the Super Bowl.
And I got to say that after the Bucks ended the Chiefs dynasty, I'm just now being tormented.
Tormented. In the same way that maybe I was blowing a 10-point lead. I don't think so. You're not going to get that from me. We are going to go over the entire slate. We're going to pick our lock of the week. It's going to be a great podcast. Let's rock. There are a lot of things that we could like open up with. I know that you have a tweet in mind that you really are excited about. So why don't I let you go with that?
Our friend Daniel Jeremiah,
said,
let me make sure I get the diction right here. Someone in the NFL asked me this question, and I'll pass it along here. How many teams would trade their first round pick for Justin Tucker? How many teams would versus how many teams should?
I mean, How many teams do you think said they would?
Would the 2019 Bears have done it?
Okay, if we had to power rank the teams most likely to trade a first round pick for Justin Tucker.
How do you think this came up? Do you think it came up because the Jags are literally 0-for-5 kicking field goals this year?
No, I think it came up. The way it came up is this last week, so many kickers missed field goals. We had missed extra points. People were like, you know what? You know what the most valuable position in football is?
Yeah.
A kicker that doesn't miss.
Can we go through the – like, how many games actually hinged? So, I guess Indianapolis lost because their kicker missed.
By the way, the fact that I stay in the shot is amazing.
Yeah. I know.
I'll lead back. Fat Joe in here.
Fat. So, I guess how many teams actually lost because their kicker? I guess the Bengals – would have won. There was a fair amount of wins that changed hands because of kickers this week. Or feet,
so, okay. So then if you had to pick the most likely team to trade a first-round pick for Justin Tucker, who would it be?
Well, I mean, the Jags already used a first-round draft pick on a running back twice in the last 4 years. So they're number one. Joe Judge's Giants have to be up there.
Okay.
You know. Football guy.
I think that's fair.
The crazy thing is probably the last team. So I'll go back to 32. The last team to trade a first round pick for Justin Tucker is probably the team that owns Justin Tucker's rights currently, which is the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, I would say, it should be the Chargers because the Chargers don't kick field goals anymore. Yeah. And they've learned their lesson.
Yeah.
Would they be more inclined to kick field goals with Justin Tucker and therefore be less of an intelligent team, perhaps. The Browns are certainly up there as well. Yeah. I would say the team, I think you power rank them pretty accurately. I'll give you a couple more. I think that the Cincinnati Bengals would think long and hard about trading a first-round pick for Justin Tucker. They're a field goal kicker away.
From being 4-1.
Yeah, from dethroning the Green Bay Packers at home. Okay, that was great. I don't know if there's anything really worth talking about from a from a Raiders perspective here. We're not going to opine on how terrible John Gruden's stuff was because it was terrible.
There's also the inconsistencies of how Tampa Bay has acted. You know,
there's a lot.
Stuff is probably not worth talking about.
It's not why you come to this podcast. The only thing that I will say is if you are enraged about it and you are pissed off, you should be, I think it's really a great opportunity to put your money where your mouth is. The Trevor Project is an awesome thing that the NFL has partnered with. It's something that Carl Nassib has talked about before. They're trying to help young members of the LGBTQ+ community. They certainly are not out of the woods. And so go make a donation there. There's plenty of other places to make donations to, depending on where you feel most strongly needs it.
The PFF Forecast supports people who in marginalized communities. Let's just say that.
Yes. We want to be on the right side of history. If you go to my Twitter, my pinned tweet are the places that I consistently donate to. So there should be something there for everybody. Are you ready for week 6?
I'm ready, man. We already had a college football. Green Line swept the side in total in yesterday's Appalachian State, yes, Louisiana Lafayette game. But the NFL is where the games are.
This is very true. Okay, so let's start with Thursday night, because I do want to talk about this one a little bit. Philadelphia at home, getting 7, total 52.5. Tom Brady, injured thumb. Does that concern you?
Is it like the same injured thumb, the NFC Championship?
That's what I'm going back to.
In 2000.
Yeah, because remember, we bet on Brady in that game. And
they did not cover.
Did not cover.
They would go on to face the Eagles after that win. Here's the underrated aspect of this, but this is why I'm probably going to advise either to lay it with Tampa Bay. Both of these quarterbacks have a higher passer rating when pressured than when clean. Brady's 109.3 pressure. Jalen Hurts is 95.9 pressure. Brady 108 when clean, 92 for Hurts. Philadelphia's negative expected points running and passing this year, despite having 60 full minutes against the Chiefs defense, to his credit. I think that Carolina's loss to them was more of a Carolina loss than a Philly win. I think Philadelphia is getting way too much respect as sort of this plucky team. And so there might be opportunity here with Tampa Bay. I just think Tampa Bay outclasses them here. They are injured, but it's not like the Eagles are not completely banged up to detriment as well.
Yeah, injuries, by the way, for Tampa Bay. Rob Gronkowski is still out. Colton Davis is on IR. Antoine Winfield out with a concussion. Lavonte David out. Ryan Jensen, hip, questionable. Scotty Miller, IR. Jason Pierre-Paul is still questionable with a shoulder. So there are a couple ways that I'm thinking about this game. The first is, okay, Brady, short rest, finger. They can beat this team running the ball. That's got to be the thought with Tampa Bay. Total 52.5.
I mean,
I don't like unders. I'm just saying 52.5 is a lot of points.
I mean, the last time Philadelphia played a great offense, Kansas City scored every single time they had the ball, except for a random.
The great Kansas City Chiefs.
And then the Chiefs followed that up by playing a bad offensive game against
Buffalo. Yeah, that's fair.
So, like, I can't advise an under here, even though I think numerically it makes a little bit of sense. Tampa Bay's defense is really good, but they are banged up. I think the only thing you can bet here is Tampa Bay or nothing.
Okay. And I would like to keep the Tampa Bay teaser leg on the table.
Tampa Bay teaser leg is...
Because here's the thing. We got last week, our lock of the week was a great bet.
I thought so.
It was the Seattle Seahawks teased to 8.5 with the Cleveland Browns teased to 8. And the Seahawks had it. Well, even with Geno Smith.
Well, not only that, they were 1 point away from both legs covering the tees, but not the original line.
Yes.
Like that was, you know, the Browns did not cover the spread, but they covered the teaser. And Seattle,
I've already hung a banner in my apartment for great bet that lost.
For sure.
Hopefully you guys join me in that. But we need to come back. So I'm keeping the Tampa Bay teaser leg on the table. Before we get to the rest of the slate, though, I have a special gift for our listeners.
Oh,
25% off. 25% off any subscription with the promo code FORECAST, FORECAST. You can share it with your friends. They can become a part of the group as well. 25% is no joke, okay? It's a fourth of the total price. And the reason it's 25%, by the way, I thought about all the people that like to bet. Our gambling tools are not cheap. So an elite subscription, you can get it for 25% off. That's an amazing deal. Full $50 off for an entire year. You get the player props tool, which we absolutely adore. It's so profitable. The betting dashboards for spreads, totals, money lines, the DFS optimizer, plus all the premium content and fantasy rankings and projections that you need, that I need every single week to confuse myself about my fantasy team. So promo code FORECAST, FORECAST, for 25% off any sub. Share it with your friends. Make it happen. Okay. Where would you like to go next?
Okay. This is a stinker.
Oh.
But I like it. Okay.
That's not surprising.
Minnesota Vikings at Carolina Panthers over 46.
I don't like it.
Okay.
I love it.
The both offensive lines are terrible, which is a concern. I think the Vikings offensive line is getting better. Darius Shaw played a decent amount of the game on Sunday, played well. Carolina is sort of like, you know, they still have Cameron Irving in there. The Vikings pass rush has been okay from the edges, especially with Danielle Hunter. I think both secondaries are haveable. I think both sets of wide receivers on this game are very good.
This is a receiver play.
Yeah, this is a receiver play. This is a wide open targets play. This is a this is a Minnesota Vikings have only scored like one or two touchdowns in the second half of games. They've addressed that this week. Everybody's pointing it out to them. I like 46 as the total here.
Kirk Cousins still 89.4 PFF grade.
Yeah.
Like he is playing really, really, really well. And the Sam Darnold thing, while the shine has come off, I think there's a little bit of a misnomer that the Minnesota Vikings, because of Zimmer, have this daunting defense. And, you know, from an opponent-adjusted grade perspective, they've been fine. Yeah. They're right on the cusp of being a top 10 top 10 defense. But the Carolina Panthers, I think their defense really beat up on some bad teams. And they haven't been as good. I mean, they faced the second easiest schedule through the first 3 weeks.
And same thing for the Minnesota Vikings.
And the shine has come off of that a little bit. So you think about duos in terms of receivers, and you've got Robbie Anderson and DJ Moore, and then you've got Adam Thielen and Justin Jefferson. I think that's something to be taken advantage of. Cameron Dantzler is on the reserve COVID list.
Rashad Breeland can't get COVID because he's never within 6 feet of an opposing player.
Ding. So, we have this panel here at some point. I've got to get some like noise for your jokes that are amazing.
But like this is overcorrecting for the fact that the Vikings gave 17 points to the Lions, 14 points to the Browns, and 17 points to the Seahawks. I can assure you that the Detroit Lions, if they were a functioning football team, scores 35 on the Vikings. They move the ball in the air. Quintez Cephus got hurt. The wide receivers were like Khalif Raymond and like Anthony Tresh in that game. The Browns moved the ball really well on the Vikings. It was like 200 yards on the ground. And Baker, they went for a lot of fourth downs in the red zone. Baker was kind of terrible. Like there were wide receivers running all open all that game. Like you look at the Vikings, I think that they obviously from a points allowed perspective have been great the last 2 weeks, but I don't think, and this is a modest total. Like this is a modest total. So I think you jump on that. McCaffrey's questionable to play. Anthony Barr got back last week, looked like shit. Like if they have him like out in coverage.
Hey, we said we weren't gonna fucking curse anymore.
Sorry. So I think whether McCaffrey plays or not is probably Shaq Thompson, a linebacker for Panthers, probably their best defensive player other than Brian Burns, with a foot questionable. You know, probably did not practice today, probably will be out.
Yeah.
So, you know. And whether Cook plays or not is immaterial. Alexander Mattison has been great in the two starts, aside from that fumble that he had last week. So this is probably, in my opinion, the biggest bet I'm going to make on a side or total, not a proper or maybe a teaser, but I like this one the most.
Okay, I also like an over quite a bit, and this is Bengals Lions in Detroit. Total 47.5. Spread is now Bengals by 3.5. Yeah. It was 3. And at 3, I would be inclined to bet the Cincinnati Bengals. At 3.5, you're not, you know, you're losing if they win by 3. I'm not about that. Okay. We've talked about this before. If you're here, if you've been with us, you know. Okay.
Yep.
But we had Dan Campbell. Here's what I want to leverage. You watch Dan Campbell's post-game press conference.
Yeah, man.
Man was broken up. Okay. Yeah. That Lions team is going to be fired the hell up on Sunday. Yeah. And they think, look, they're 0-5. They're 3-2 against the spread. This team has overperformed. They have been a joy to bet on, a lovely team to watch if you're betting on them. They're going to come out firing here. And the Bengals defense is not one that is going to get in the way of the greatest covering show on turf, which is Jared Goff and the Detroit Lions. And the Detroit Lions are not going to get in the way with their 32 ranked PFF opponent adjusted graded defense. in the way of Joe Burrow with an 85.4 PFF grade, a 121 passer rating when clean.
Yeah, my only concern here is how bad Jared Goff has been.
You stop it. He's been a covering machine.
Yeah. I think this game is like 42-14. And so, yeah, I think it goes over. But I also think laying the points with the Bengals is a smart move. When you look at Detroit, the concerns I have is obviously Cephas, who was probably their best receiver through a couple weeks, collarbone, IR, Frank Ragnow, the center, toe, IR, Hawkinson, knee, questionable. Like, I get concerned about the and it was sort of the same thing. Now, of course, I'm wrong because we talked about Jets, Falcons. We said these two, like, these defenses are really bad, but how much can the offenses take advantage of it? And I worry about Detroit here because, like, you're talking about a negative EPA team, both run and pass. I think you're on the right track. In that the Bengals can score in this game. Mm-hmm. I just wonder if then you take the Bengals being able to score, home field advantage being basically nothing, indoors, and add that to the reason to go with Burrow and the Bengals to cover the number. Like, that to me, I think maybe...
You still like it at 3.5. Okay.
But my issue, again, with Detroit is, why is this number only 3.5? It's because the market is giving a lot of respect to a team that's covered the number a lot. Mm-hmm. And to me, if that's the... Like, I think these things equilibrate, right? So, like, if Detroit covers a bunch of numbers, you know, maybe it's better to bet the other side, especially. The reason is just, like, we make the number 4.5. So, you know, and there's not a ton of value from 4.5 to 3.5, but I will still take it.
Okay. Before we get back to the rest of the games, if you are looking for a place to wager on the games, and I'm sure you are, and you should be, and looking for a good place that will pay you back when you win all of your money, thanks to us two brilliant people, go to DraftKings, the DraftKings Sportsbook app, and use the promo code PFF. Here's what you do. When you use that promo code, you bet just $1 on any NFL game, you'll win $100 in free bets if either team scores a point. There has not been a 0-0 tie in my lifetime, and even though you're older than me, not in your lifetime either. 1943, last time it happened. They have great same-game parlays. DraftKings always has some good odds boost, huge cash prizes, great place to go bet. And it's going to be, look, it's going to be up to you ultimately. But I have faith in you. Go to DraftKings Sportsbook. Use promo code PFF. You must be 21 or older. New Jersey, Indiana, Pennsylvania only. New customers are the ones that are eligible. Minimum $5 deposit. $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Your gambling problem, code 1-800-GAMBLER. Now, you go gamble. You win. You got this money. You're like, what should I do now?
What should I do now?
Dig a hole in your backyard and bury it.
Mm-hmm. It seems like a solid way, you know, given inflation rates currently.
Yeah, and then hope it grows into a beautiful tree. Or go to Western and Southern Financial Group, put your money in there, and then watch it grow for real. Because it ain't going to actually grow into a tree. I hope you guys know that. Western and Southern has a playbook, regardless of what you're looking for. If you're trying to buy a home, you're trying to start a family, you know, whatever it is, you just want to make your money grow, Western and Southern can help you out. Go to westernsouthern.com/PFF and get a game plan built for you.
For you.
Speaking of built for you, you know what's built for you?
What?
The Lawnmower 4.0. You in particular.
If you had too much going on for Lawnmower 3.
Yeah.
Manscaped went the extra mile, maybe just the extra inch, but the extra mile for you. Lawnmower 4.0.
I mean, it's great. I say this every time people ask me, they go like, because I get, you know, people come to me all the time.
Yeah, like,
listen, buddy, I hear you're talking about this Manscaped thing, but you can't really be serious. And then you know what I do? I reach into my backpack and I pull out the Lawnmower 4.0. I travel with it everywhere. It actually comes with a nice little travel bag, which I appreciate.
Yeah, that's nice.
And again, I'll just run through them. The battery life, sensational. The blade, safer. And there's a light now. So you're all good to go. It is something that I use. I would not ask you to use it and to, you know, protect yourself in the way that I am asking you to protect yourself, unless I use it myself. Go to manscaped.com, use promo code PFF, get yourself the Lawnmower 4.0. Don't look like a doofus ever again. 20% off with that promo code at manscaped.com. And now back to the games. Where would you like to go next?
Okay. We don't have it anymore now that's three.
I know what this was.
Yeah, I liked Cleveland. I think Cleveland at 2.5, if you can get it at 2.5,
it's a solid pick. Let's talk about this game. The Arizona Cardinals, 5-0. Now, we on Sunday did our power rankings of teams. I am willing to put my foot down, lay it all on the table, and say that, yeah, I think the Cardinals are a borderline top five team, but I don't have them as one of the top four. And I don't think that's a sin. Being undefeated does not mean that you are the best team in the NFL, a la the Pittsburgh Steelers of last year, right? Yours truly was just absolutely drug up and down the field by people on Twitter for how could you not respect the 10-0 Steelers? Well, you saw why. Now, the Cardinals are not the Steelers. Let me be very clear. But I still am of the opinion that it takes Kyler Murray being an absolute superhero for them to be really good. And that is not the case with some of these other teams. The Browns, I think, are in an interesting position because they're on the flip side, where it's like Baker is never a superhero, but somehow their team continues to play really well because Stefanski is a great coach. They have great players on defense. Myles Garrett is superhuman. So this is a really interesting matchup. And I will just add, before I get your take on it, that Kyler was rotating his shoulder a little bit at the end of the Niners game. They beat a terrible Trey Lance-led team by only 7. They probably shouldn't have covered that spread.
They probably should have lost outright. Niners missed fourth down after fourth down after fourth down.
It was a disaster. They also had a goal line play that they didn't quite get there. We have Arizona, as I kind of predicted, as the fifth-ranked team in our power rankings.
Yeah, I think Cleveland,
it's
fair.
And I think it's fair. I think it's great. That's, by the way, way better than we thought they would be. And the Cleveland Browns are 3. So,
What was the reason we liked Niners last week was their run game.
Mm-hmm.
The run game for the Cleveland Browns is the most robust run game in the entire league, right? And, you know, Arizona, you know, is going to give up plays because their linebackers are young. Their defensive line is great. Like, J.J. Watt's playing great so far.
Mm-hmm.
So is Chandler Jones. Chandler Jones is banged up a little bit, missing some practice, COVID-19 list. You have Murray with the shoulder. Max Williams, who's been a great tight end for them, tore his ACL last week. He's out. DeAndre Hopkins has an illness. Like,
I mean, let's be real. The only injury on the Cardinals that you look at is Kyler Murray with the shoulder. If Kyler Murray's shoulder, and it's his throwing shoulder, is not great, then I will take the Browns.
And I think Murray is better than Mayfield, but can I offer a little bit of possibility for regression? So Murray and Mayfield basically have the same passer rating when clean. They basically have the same turnover worthy play rate. Murray has 3 percentage points higher big time throw, and Murray when under pressure has a 110 rating. Mayfield has a 36 rating. To me, we know that turnover-worthy plays are more stable than big-time throws. We know that passer rating when under pressure is less stable than when clean. Like, if you see some statistical regression with Murray, that's probably going to go towards the mean, which is down. Yeah. If you see some statistical regression with Mayfield, Mayfield's already been hurt, right? And like, so at anything, he's probably going to get better. I think you might I don't think these quarterbacks are equal, but I think that they will become more equal than what we've seen over time. And as such, I think Cleveland is the right side here. I also think this game plays to the under, and at 49.5, you saw what happened in the game. You saw what happened in the game the other day. You and I were cackling because we liked over in that game. And one of the teams reached the total.
Right.
And we were joking the whole time watching the game together. I like under 46 or whatever the hell it was.
I think this market overreacts
a little bit.
Let me take a look here on a new app prototype that I'm checking out here.
Ooh.
You know what the winds are going to be on Sunday?
23 miles an hour. Precipitation 48%.
60 degrees Fahrenheit. Yeah. You know where Arizona plays football?
Yeah.
In the great state of Arizona, in the desert.
Yeah. And you know what Kyler Murray has? Small hands.
Small hands.
Small hands.
Kyler Murray has been the highest graded quarterback under pressure. He has been amazing. Last year, when he got injured, we saw those edge cases where he was great, where he was always sensational, really fall off a cliff. Cliff, pun intended. I expected you to get that one. Okay.
I like it.
And so in this situation, I am with you. Myles Garrett, by the way, is a freak of nature. He's got a 90 PFF grade and he is facing potentially the great Kelvin Beachum, who I think has been decent in pass protection.
I think.
And, you know, DJ Humphreys has been fine too. But anytime Myles Garrett lines up across from another tackle, he has an advantage. Yeah. So that's one that I'd like to press.
One of the most impressive things about the Cliff Kingsbury era in Arizona is how bad their offensive line personnel has been and how much we don't talk about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, they get away with it because Kyler Murray is so damn good.
Yep.
Okay. I want to transition to the Ravens-Chargers game. It's the best game. And what I want to do is actually ask you this question because I've been dying to ask you all week. Kyler, Lamar, Herbert.
Lamar's one. So I've been saying this all week. I think that the interesting thing about the Ravens.
Where? On your Patreon?
No, I've been on a bunch of shows, Joel.
Oh, sorry. Sorry. My bad. But like, big time over here.
My Patreon. My Substack, George. Come on. No. God, I can't even. Okay, so.
My church blog.
What would my church blog be called?
God help us.
Yeah. Like, I don't even know. Okay.
Thank God. I'm glad you haven't thought about it. Yeah. Okay, Lamar's one for you.
Lamar, the Ravens have lucked into a natural experiment where they get to see exactly what Lamar is going to look like when he makes so much money that they can't pepper the roster around him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he's delivered.
He's been great.
It's unquestioned, right? So like give that to Lamar. Herbert, I think is two.
Interesting. Really?
Yes. I think Herbert's too, and here's one of the reasons why. So I sent this to you in our Slack chat. The scheme uniqueness, if you look at the top unique schemes, and this is something that we do use in our betting models, and it does correlate with the Vegas spread, Shanahan, McVay, Kingsbury has the third most unique scheme in the NFL, followed by Arthur Smith, Andy Reid, Greg Roman.
Do you want me to tell you why it's unique?
Joe Lombardi has the least unique scheme in the NFL.
Let me tell you why Cliff Kingsbury's scheme is unique. It's uniquely bad. Okay? That's what it is. The reason it's so unique is they don't do things that people are doing currently because they're antiquated. Like leaving DeAndre Hopkins on a freaking island.
Yeah. I get that, but I also think that there are some things.
Are you sitting here and telling me that Justin Herbert is running a worse scheme than Kyler Murray?
I think Justin Herbert is executing more vanilla stuff. I think we're confusing the Brandon Staley wokeness on fourth down with an offense that is brilliant.
Okay.
I think that Justin Herbert is running. I think Justin Herbert's been more impressive than Kyler Murray because I think Justin Herbert is running sort of like he's not sleight of handing. Justin Herbert is beating the NFL at ways in which quarterbacks have beat the NFL traditionally forever. And that doesn't mean that I think Kyler Murray is not impressive. I just think when I break the tie, you have the size of Herbert, the arm strength is slightly better. Murray has a hose too. Obviously Murray has the athleticism and all that, but Herbert's no slouch there. Murray has more options in the passing game than Herbert does.
Yeah, AJ Green, can't discount him.
Rondell Moore is amazing.
But he doesn't freaking play.
He played the other day.
Yeah, I mean, a little bit.
And again, it's close. But I think it's close with all three of them. But I would currently go Lamar, Herbert.
Okay. Murray. Final question before I give you mine. Would you take Josh Allen over all three of those?
All three? I would take Josh Allen third in that list.
Wow.
Yeah.
I knew that was going to be interesting. What's your rationale there? Because what you're saying, by the way, you'd go Lamar, Herbert, Allen, Murray. By the way, if you have this choice, it's a win-win-win-win situation.
Yeah, yeah. There's no wrong answer here. I think Josh Allen. I think Josh, it's weird. Why am I saying Josh Allen's distribution is narrower? But I do think it's narrower.
Hmm.
Like Herbert, I mean.
Herbert's looked amazing. Yeah. He absolutely has.
And Buffalo, I do hold in higher regard than the Los Angeles Chargers currently. It's trending in the right direction for the Chargers. But I think Buffalo helps out Josh Allen more than the Chargers help out Herbert. I don't know. Like, I actually looked at this. It's still disaster. DeAndre Hopkins snaps in the slot. 7, 8, 10, 7, 5. Fuck. What are you doing, Cliff?
We said we weren't going to swear anymore.
We said we weren't going to do this anymore. Cliff, that's your fault. That's your fault that we're not a family-friendly podcast.
Okay.
What would you say?
Oh, my God. This is one of the hardest things here. But I don't think number one is hard. I don't think number one is hard. Lamar Jackson has been freaking amazing this year. And
no qualifiers. None.
None. Without the one reason you were optimistic about him becoming a better passer was they drafted Rashad Bateman, and he has not played yet.
And not only that, Sammy Watkins has left games because of injury.
You have Hollywood Brown has dropped like 4 touchdown passes. Now, Hollywood Brown has been good. Lamar Jackson is making big time throws at a significantly higher rate than he ever has before. We talk about Kyler Murray's athleticism. Lamar Jackson's athleticism is still amazing. And for some reason, and I don't know why, I might guess, he gets graded on a curve that the other guys don't.
Well, so this sounds bad, and this is part of the bias that has gone against him all the time. Lamar is so like Justin Herbert. Justin Herbert looks like a quarterback.
Right.
He's swole. He's tall. He's got the hair. He and his throws are, there is not a Justin Herbert throw where the ball comes out of his hand. You're like, yuck, right? Lamar is thinner. He's more athletic than all, you know, he runs really fast. He's got all this. And there are some of his incompletions
are horrifying,
are ugly.
Yeah.
But when you add it all up, I mean, we're talking about the player who's had the most accurate game of a quarterback who threw for over 400 yards the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And like, so you have to face facts. The guy, like, it doesn't look the greatest sometimes. And there are some games where they struggle. But like, even think about the playoff game against Tennessee. Like, he didn't throw the ball well.
Yeah.
And yet, like, he busts a 70-yard touchdown run. Like, no other guy in the league is doing that except for Dan Jones. And that's because Dan Jones, like, can't throw. You know, like, so I think you're right. I don't think it's really close. And I think, you know, where I erred in, like, this idea of, like, hey, you know, the COVID thing was something. Like, the vaccination thing was maybe a reason not to buy into him right away. But it, you know, ultimately he's going to get more expensive. I don't think it matters that much between paying him $45 million and $50 million a year. But I think, you know, last season was a season where, you know, quarterbacks have these ups and downs. Mm-hmm. And like, we just have to remember that, like, the evolution at the quarterback position is not linear for a lot of these guys. Right. And we have to make sure that when we see it with Josh Allen, right, through 4 games, he wasn't great this year.
Yeah.
You know, we just have to be able to handle variance a little bit better at the position. And that's what the trap I think a lot of us fell into with Lamar, thinking it was still not necessarily a slam dunk that a former MVP could earn this contract. Mm-hmm. And good for him for completely dispelling any of those doubts.
Yeah. Okay. So I have Lamar 1, and I think it's pretty definitive for me. I have Josh Allen 2. And for the reason that you just said, Josh Allen came into the season and had a target on his back. And has performed, you know, has started to figure it out. Had an incredible game in the biggest of spots against Mahomes and the Chiefs. That matters. Third for me, and this is the toughest one, is between Herbert and Murray, because both of them have such an interesting situation that they're dealing with. Like, Justin Herbert has some great receivers in Keenan Allen and Mike Williams. He has a great coach. In Brandon Staley. Kyler Murray has athleticism that Justin Herbert doesn't have, and that is particularly exciting. I'm going to lean with Justin Herbert Very slightly. Very slightly. And here's the reason why. I don't know if this is Cliff Kingsbury. I don't know if it's partially on Kyler Murray. But Kyler Murray has the highest variance, I think, of the group. Where Kyler Murray at his apex, I would take over Justin Herbert. But I'm not confident enough that that apex exists frequently enough. And it's a lot of it is injury. Like, what does that do to him when he's a little nicked up? Whereas Justin Herbert has, I have a little more confidence in his ability to sustain really good play. It's so close, and I love them all. We just did like 20 freaking minutes on those four quarterbacks, but we're lucky to have them in the league. Okay, it is Baltimore by 3 in Baltimore, total 52.
It actually went down slightly. We had a juice 2.5 on the Los Angeles Chargers. It is now basically a flat 3, if I'm not mistaken. The Ravens were essentially downgraded for Monday Night Football because...
I actually think that's fair.
I think you look at their defense, you know...
They needed Lamar to be Hercules to eke that out against a not great team at home.
Yeah, I thought that... can we pause for a second? Like, the effort that the Indianapolis Colts put out on Monday
was impressive.
A game effort. And I think it's a worst-case scenario for them. Minus 3 actually here is, I mean, this is trending to 2.5, right? Mm-hmm. Plus 3 on Pinnacle is minus 113. It's minus 3 is plus 103. I think if you like the Ravens, which, I mean, I think that it's probably good for us to advise people, like, once this gets 2.5, just bet Ravens, because mm-hmm. then now you have a plus 3.5 and a minus 2.5, and you just get to enjoy the game. And if it lands 3, good for you. Yep. You have a very good bet on set of bet on bets on your hands. That to me, I think, is where you wait here. So just wait.
I would say wait also because I like Chargers plus 8.5 as a teaser.
Yes, that's true. Like this is a very, the only issue is that this game
has a high total. Yeah.
But these teams both play really close games. So I like it. I like this, the narratives around this game. I thought our quarterback discussion there was good.
Where should we go next?
Let me give you a game.
Please.
That I think I want. Okay. Houston plus 10 at Indianapolis.
I can't believe I'm saying this. But do you really want to buy the Houston Texans at the top of the market?
No, but.
So there are a couple of things that I took away from that Colts game. That was like the Super Bowl for them, right? I mean,
Houston, I thought, just played a random Houston game last week, and Davis Mills, has there been a rookie quarterback that's had a better performance against Bill Belichick historically than Davis Mills?
No. But my point, so interestingly, my point was about the Colts there, which is like the Colts are playing a division rival. They laid it all out there. That was such a – I mean, they played a perfect game, and it just like – you know, they could not get the win. And so now they come in, and it's like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Like kind of defeated here.
Let down spot here.
Yeah.
Well, and the short week, the injuries on the Colts side. I mean, you saw Darius Leonard try to run that fumble back, and he just like straight up went – this, you know, like
that was a great pitch.
Yeah,
that was backward. That was
I don't get what they're doing. Yeah, I mean, I think my only concern, but it's sort of like, this is interesting because like it's a Styles make fight situation. Mm-hmm. The Houston Texans are a run first team defensively.
Just flows off the tongue,
and they're like the guys that they have playing defense are going to stop the run. Like they want to stop the run, and The Colts, like, now I'll say this, I've been really impressed with Michael Pittman. I thought that mm-hmm. has ended up being a good pick for them. But I don't see the Colts being super explosive in the passing game. And I think that the Texans can kind of slow them down a little bit. Plus, like, Brandon Cooks is good. Like, he's a guy that, and like, they got Chris Conley going the other day. It sounds really bad, but like, I mean, I don't know. Houston plays hard, man. Plus over 43.5 seems like a send.
I was gonna say that I almost like over 43.5.
Yeah. Okay. Let's.
But I would bet them both. I mean, plus 10. The Colts are getting, I think the Colts are getting a decent amount of credit for playing a close game and like winning that game for most of the game against the Baltimore Ravens. They're number 21 in our power rankings. I'm not sure a team that is ranked 21st in a power ranking should have a 10-point advantage against a team that's trying. So, right. So like against the Jaguars, I can see it, but you know.
Yeah.
The Jaguars are just trying to get 250 passing yards and 250 rushing yards because that's what Urban Meyer wants. They're playing really hard for Urban Meyer.
Look, there's, it's always a good thing to meet your boss's KPIs for no reason.
Yeah, especially when they're really bad. Okay, I am going to give you, I think this is my favorite spread bet of the current, at the current moment. I cannot wait. Cannot wait.
Oh, this is going to be a rally game.
I cannot wait. Freed from the tyrannical reign of John Gruden.
Mm-hmm.
The Las Vegas Raiders getting 3.5 points in Denver against Teddy Bridgewater.
Theo?
I love it. I love everything about it. They are coming off of a really poor performance, which I am sure was impacted by the fact that they knew their boss was on his way out.
Yeah.
And now they can breathe free. They are the better quarterback, getting points, getting more than 3 points here. Derek Carr has 3x Teddy Bridgewater's big time throw rate.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know what's not to love.
I like it.
I mean, I'm a little nervous about the Las Vegas Raiders secondary, sure. But
yeah, it's called the Las Vegas Raiders secondary.
But the Denver Broncos are, you know, KJ Hamler now on IR. Jerry Jeudy obviously has been on IR. Albert O, our buddy, is on IR now with hamstring, and that means Noah Kant will be the one trying to catch passes.
That was a good one on Sunday.
That was good. So we're sitting here watching the games on Sunday, and I am getting absolutely dogged in my fantasy leagues. And I have Noah Fant's bum ass walking around. Love Noah Fant. I'm keeping him. By the way, have I lost hope? Nope.
No.
Nope. Noah Fant permanently is in my lineup. I have faith in you, Noah. But so like he has like 9 yards and I'm just losing it because I'm just getting dogged in this matchup. And Eric had to stab me with Noah Kant there. Okay, 3.5. Total 44, by the way.
Yeah, I don't want this total at all because you look at the Raiders, minus 0.34 EPA per run, minus 0.21 Denver run. And both teams, like, I feel like in this game are going to want to establish a little bit.
You have to.
And so I like it being close and low scoring and kind of gross. Over is obviously the only play you can make because both these quarterbacks are capable of being decent.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a question I have for you. So apparently, Mayock had 49% of the personnel decisions where Gruden had 51. And now
can I ask you how that works?
Look, don't step on the punch. So like, and now the new head coach is 49%, Mayock is 51. Are 51% of the Derek Carr games Gruden games and 49% of them Mayock games? Because like I feel like that's the only explanation for why we get MVP candidate Carr.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get like Derek Carr. The last two games has been like
it hasn't been great.
Absolute.
We're rebounding.
Yeah, yeah. But like, so now you get this new. So the issue I have with the Raiders, and I think why, and I've gotten this question from a few people in the betting community, like, what do you think about this number and all this? Because the Raiders on early down play action rate early in games 13.5%. The next worst team is the LA Rams, 24.6. The team that runs play action, second worst in the league, runs it almost twice as much as the Raiders.
Mm-hmm. What are we doing here?
Easy fix. There's a number of easy fixes for this Raiders team that I feel like they could just go through and actually like implement, and they'll be better. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah. It's a good take.
I don't think, and I've been a big Gruden fan. I've always thought Gruden did a better job of calling plays than and the numbers suggested.
Yeah, that's aged well. Yeah.
Through 3 weeks, that was.
Yeah, it was looking great.
Yeah, but of course now he's, you know, his emails.
Turns out emailing with Bruce Allen, not great.
Yeah.
Not great for your future.
So that's something. And then I think Denver, look, if you were to tell me, okay, would you rather take the next bunch of games with Bridgewater, knowing now that all the shine is off, or Derek Carr, who we kind of know is going to be what he is, I would take Carr a little bit more than I would take Bridgewater.
Agreed. Okay. Do you have any others that you'd like to bring up?
I think that's it there. I mean, I do think...
I have a bet that will measure the size of your balls, by the way.
Okay.
Are you willing to bet the Seattle Seahawks +5 in Pittsburgh?
Yes. I think I will, actually.
Geno Smith.
I will. I think the two ballsiest bets, and now the one's gone, actually. If you took New England at +4 against Dallas at home, and then you take Seattle on the road +5 in Pittsburgh on Sunday football, you are a sicko, but I respect the hell out of you.
Yeah. The earn your fellow bettors respect bet of the week is the Seattle Seahawks and the New England Patriots.
I don't know if you watched that clip of the live show where I was like,
the James Winston one?
No, the Russell Wilson one where I said, like, I said, it would, because Sam Monson's like hot take of the week was that Seattle wasn't going to make the playoffs.
I did see that.
And I was just like, what the fuck? The only way that Seattle is any good is out of spite, Pete Carroll and company, like, run a woke offense for Geno Smith.
No, Geno Smith is good. I was impressed with what he did. Anyways, what do you want to go with for lock of the week?
Let's do, okay, so I'm going to propose a little bit of a teaser situation. I want to tease Tampa. So here's the thing. On Pinnacle, Tampa -7 is +106. So you're basically getting more of a 6.5. So let's go Tampa down to 0.5. And then let's go. And this is where I want your guidance. Okay. Your guidance here. Do we either go Chiefs down to 0.5, which I do kind of like. I don't think there's any way they lose to the Washington football team. If they do lose to the Washington football team, it's over, right? Like,
yeah.
And that's a bad way to bet. You don't bet a game because the team needs it, right? Like, you know, that's
okay. So what's your other option?
The other option would be Detroit up. Well, so no, not Detroit. It would be Arizona up to 8.5, would it not?
But is that 2.5 now? That Arizona's at 3.
So you're more talking. And is this the game even up with LA Charger? Yeah, the Chargers up to 8.5 would be the other one, right?
Yeah, but that's at 3 right now.
Yeah, but it's an expensive 3 that you might get down to 2.5. Sorry, I'm misreading this. It's late.
It's late. It's 6:30.
Yeah. So
that is pretty late though.
The other one that you could like, although you're teasing through 0 here. Buffalo is now at -6. But you don't want to tease through 0. That 0 is not worth anything. The other thing, I also do think Tennessee +6 is a live dog in Monday Night Football. I think you're overvaluing Buffalo. I don't think Tennessee's good, but Tennessee wasn't good last year and they beat the brakes off of Buffalo. So, like, I think the best teaser of the week is Chiefs laying a half a point, Bucks laying half a point.
God help us all.
Basically a money line parlay between Chiefs and Bucks.
Okay, I do like it. Do you not like the over in either Cincinnati, Detroit, Houston, Indy, or Minnesota, Carolina?
Minnesota, Carolina on Pinnacle is now 45.5. So we're getting even a better number there than we were before. But that means that 46 is getting market resistance to the under. I would be in favor. I don't like the Detroit one just because I just don't know if Detroit's going to be able to move the ball against
the Bengals defense. Like the vaunted Bengals defense. Okay.
I don't think Jared Goff can move it on air sometimes.
Yeah, that's fair.
But I do like Minnesota, Carolina. Let's briefly look at what Charlotte's weather looks like.
That's a good take. And check it out right here.
70, no precipitation, 11-mile-per-hour wind. So perfect weather in Charlotte. Carolina thus far this season, however. Let me look at this for a second. Carolina, I believe, other than the Dallas game, has played every game to the under so far.
Just like the Chargers had.
Chargers had last week. So maybe, okay, let's do it. I like it. Vikings, Panthers. Vikings have never let me down before.
I was just trying to get you to bet on an over or total. Ah, oh, man, I know. But the thing is, do we go away from the teaser on Thursday? It was the right.
It adds a little bit of juice to it.
It adds a little bit of juice. Let's do the teaser.
All right, Chiefs. There it is. So Chiefs,
the great state of Kansas.
Bucks.
I love the way you show 55. The way you're showing people. It's just incredible. You must have been a teacher in a past life. Lock of the week: Tampa Bay Bucks tease with the Kansas City Chiefs, both down to a half point. I'm sure they won't let us down. And if you don't like that, there's like 80 other bets that we talked about. That was our podcast. We'll be back on Sunday night live. We love you all. Peace. In the dark, you shine.